Hello, and welcome again to our talks on the end times. So far, in our march to the end of this age, I've covered the doctrine of the great apostasy that will lead to the rapture or the secret removal of the true believers from the earth. The Lord comes for his bride, but does not come visibly and remains in the clouds. Following the church's removal, the believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive their rewards for service in the kingdom. Following that award ceremony will be the wedding of the Lamb. While all of this is happening in heaven, on earth it is altogether a different ball game. In the absence of spiritual restraints, two men make their move to seize the world for Satan. The Antichrist and the false prophet work in tandem to unite church and state and create a one-world political and religious system. But as we have learned from history, God has never left his world without a witness. And during the Great Tribulation, a ministry team consisting of 144,000 Jews, three angels, and two prophets will be bringing the message of grace to quench the firestorm of 19 judgments that will hammer the earth. After 7 years, the evil Trinity will assemble the armies of the world to march on Israel. It is the Battle of Armageddon, World War III, and it will precipitate the second coming or the visible return of Jesus Christ. In this episode, I want to back up a bit and talk about a mysterious entity that takes up three of the 22 chapters of the Book of Revelation. It is that system the Antichrist and false prophet create through the merger of church and state. It is called Babylon. Babylon. You probably heard the phrase in the Boney M's song By the Rivers of Babylon, or in Bob Marley's Babylon System. Interestingly, these two songs convey the two biblical usages of this word Babylon. It is both a literal place and a moral and spiritual condition of a society. Babel appears in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, and in Revelation, the last book of the Bible. In Genesis, it is Babel. In chapter 17 of Revelation, it morphs into Mystery Babylon and is revealed both as a mother and a city, who incurs the wrath of God and is destroyed towards the end of the Great Tribulation. The question is why? What is it about this city that keeps it rising from the ashes every time it is destroyed? Why are three out of 22 chapters of the final book of the Bible devoted to this city or system? What is the importance of this entity that brings it into the biblical narrative more than 260 times, second only to Jerusalem? She is indeed a mystery, and in this session, I hope to shed some light on Babylon, her nature and goals, to explain why she has always and will always incur the wrath of God. Babylon, as a literal city, may not have much importance to us, but as a political and religious system that defies the government of God, it does. And this is why it is important for us to study the doctrine. We must avoid absorption into its collective mindset if we hope to inherit eternal life. The word Babel means confusion. The city of Babylon was founded by the descendants of Noah, approximately 100 years after the flood. It was a city inundated with idolatry and false religion. Babylon would grow in influence until the Lord felt that unless he intervened, man would destroy himself. And so he came down and confounded the language and forced people apart. By 600 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar would rebuild Babylon into a great empire. At the height of its powers, Babylon would fall in one night to the armies of Cyrus the Persian in 539 BC, and a city would be reduced to ruins. But the city has never been extinguished, even as its rival, Jerusalem, has endured numerous ransacking over the centuries, but is still standing and waiting for its revival as the glorious city of the millennial era. It seems evident that Babylon will also rise from its lowly state and will grow to become a great commercial center and rallying point for a one-world religion. Mystery Babylon will realize the goal of Babel, albeit for a short time, under the auspices of the two beasts that will grab hold of the world during this time. The end-time fate of Babylon is grounded in its origins at Babel. Story can be found in Genesis 11. This is where biblical history records humanity's first worldwide rebellion against God. Recall, God had instructed Noah to have his descendants scatter throughout the earth after the flood, Genesis 9:7. But Nimrod appeared and reversed that order, saying that the people should remain together. And so he created a rallying point around the Tower of Babel in the land of Shinar. There they built a tower that reached into heaven, Genesis 11:4. Babylon will reappear in its dual aspect, social and political, towards the end of days, and like its predecessor, it too will fall. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Revelation 18:1-2. Babylon will also fail in her attempts to unify the world into a one-world religious system. Babel had given birth to the infamous mother-child cult. Extra-biblical tradition has it that Nimrod's wife, Semiramis, had a son named Tammuz through an alleged supernatural conception. According to the legend, this boy was killed by animals and raised to life. The legend of Semiramis and Tammuz eventually spread throughout the world and took on different names in different cultures. In Assyria, it was Ishtar and Tammuz. In Phoenicia, it was Astarte and Baal. In Egypt, it was Isis and Osiris. In Greece, it was Aphrodite and Eros. In Rome, it was Venus and Cupid. In this end-time move at religious pluralism, she may revive these deities to show the world that they were in fact worshipping the one and same God under different names. What better way to remove religious differences and unite the world in worship? Ecumenism sounded good in the days of Nimrod, and it will sound even better in the turbulent and divisive days of the Great Tribulation. But just as God confounded the attempt at Babel, he will also confuse and destroy its modern antitype, Babylon. What Satan does not disclose to the world, and what Christ exposes, is the devil's plan to seize control of the world so that he could execute his diabolical anti-God agenda. Many will detect the lie brought to light through the preaching of the 144,000 Jews and the angels who warned against taking the mark of the beast, and will refuse assimilation into the false prophet's religious order, but they will pay a dear price for salvation. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, Revelation 17:6a. God would destroy Babel, give the people different languages, and establish borders for the nations. These actions were aimed at keeping the nations at a safe distance in order to restrain them from evil. But once again, we see that Satan is presently pushing the world to unite as one, under a world government and a single universal religion. He has two men earmarked for the leadership of these two institutions, the Antichrist and the false prophet. And when the church is removed in rapture, the world will be ready for its next Babel. This time, it will be called Mystery Babylon. In conclusion, the Babylonian system began in Genesis 11 with the Tower of Babel, and it ends in Revelation 17 through 19 with the overthrow of the false anti-Christian system known as Mystery Babylon. Observe that both the Genesis and Revelation accounts occur at approximately the same location, that is between the Euphrates and Tigris rivers. So we know that the correspondence with Babel and Babylon is not accidental. This system has always fought with the kingdom of God for domination. Babel is a political ideal which has never died, and which is still the world's quest to achieve. At the Tower of Babel, politics and religion merged into one huge system of world unity. Babylonianism thus represents all that is opposed to God, religiously and politically, because it seeks to shut him out of his world. God's plan is to have Christ rule his kingdom on earth, but Satan's plan is to take control and have his men rule. At Babel, it was Nimrod, the first type of Antichrist. His name means rebel. In the final days, it will be the man of sin. His identity is not yet known. Thus, the spirit of Babylon is a denial of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. The driving spirit behind it is Satan, whose desire is to create his own world independent of God, so that he could be its God and receive the praise and worship attributable only to the Most High God. And thus, Babylon will always stand in contrast to Jerusalem. According to the law of first mention, the land of Shinar, where the Tower of Babel was built, was the place where men first united in confederate rebellion against God. And thus, the Babylon in the end times will follow suit, only that it will eclipse the power and glory and pressure for conformity. The woman will ride the beast during the tribulation. The false church will dominate and dictate to political Babylon, just like the Roman Catholic Church maintained dominion over the political structures prior to the Reformation. These two beasts will join hands to dictate policies for government and religion. But just as Nimrod's plan failed and the Catholic hegemony was broken, so the latter-day alliance between the two beasts will come to confusion, and the beast will turn on her rider and devour her. And then the Lord will return and bring the remnant of this evil alliance to an end with the destruction of these two beasts and their armies at Armageddon. What does this mean to me, to you? Why should we be interested in Babylon and its resurgence? The simple answer is that it is a system of false worship, whose author and finisher is Satan, and that if we are careless with our faith, meaning that we drift with the tide of popular culture, we will find ourselves missing the rapture and falling prey to deception that will cost us our eternal souls.